this came out of a study that wasn't designed just like what you guys need, right? You know, like, hey, you know, they need it, you know, that kind of thing. It wasn't. It's also what I need. So if you turn to Revelation 1:3, would you please? You say, uh-oh, I thought he was going to prophecy. He's going into prophecy. Well, I'm not going into prophecy. And but I wanted to use something that's very plain in the scripture and go from there, okay? And as I said, in the assembly, we have a privilege. We have a privilege to assemble. We have a privilege for the Word of God. I'm jumping here. I'm trying to do that. And it's a very great thing that we can have the Word of God before us and that we can study it and that the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, can reveal Christ Jesus to us. Now, if you're not saved today, and I know that term is very general, but if you're not quickened by the Spirit, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to, because you're never going to understand the deeper things of God until after you get saved. You might be able to read the Scripture. I did as a lost person, and I could find out facts, but I couldn't understand. Search the Scriptures, right? You need to search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me, of Christ Jesus. And so you need to understand that we have this great privilege, and yet we have this. And I know this, you know. I'm a preacher. I'm supposed to know this anyway. And I know this. How is it then that myself, that I have a tendency to neglect the Word of God in many, many areas of my life? How is that? You know, knowing this, knowing and having the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God, knowing the Scripture and different things, that I have this tendency to like stray away from it. Well, it's the old sin nature, if you don't know. It's that old sin nature that still abides in us. And I wanted to just ask you this question. So if you go to Revelation 1:3, it says here, and he's challenging, of course, the people that read it. He said, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." And Joshua, I just read that, and I remembered what you told me. Is that it? All right. Thank you very much. That's great. I don't know. The pastor wants me to record these things. He's a wise pastor. Okay? Because, you know, sometimes, really, it happens. Now, he trusts me, mostly. And he's my son-in-law, you know, and everything, and he trusts me and everything, but still, you know, he's the pastor. I usually have a disclaimer. If I say anything that contradicts your pastor or what this church teaches or anything, the pastor's right. Okay? You know, we're not all carbon copy and we think of things a little bit differently. But you need to praise God for having a consistent pastor and one that loves his people and one that cares and prays for you. When you find that, you don't want to lose that. You don't want to lose that at all. And so I'm glad that he's on holiday. I am. I'm glad he's on holiday just to chill out, right? He's suffering in Hawaii. I want to be there so bad. I think that this might be turned up a little bit too much, but that's okay. So my question is, and it says here, and it says blessed, which is happy, okay? I try to tell people this. My last name is Stastny, and that's Czech. And if you don't know what Stastny means, it means happy. And anyways, blessed is he, which is the same words, blessed is he, that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. How many of us struggle with that? Reading. How many of us are faithful reading the Bible every day? I say I am, you know. I do. I say that I am. And then I have my Bible schedule, and then I go back to it, and all of a sudden, I mark where my Bible is, and I'm 2 days behind. Now, how did I get 2 days behind if I read my Bible every day? You know, this is an amazing thing. And so it challenged me. I said, how does this happen to us, you know, and what's the motivation behind it? But I want to take that a little bit further, with problems of life and everything. But it tells us to read it And it's interesting. And then to hear it, and then to do it, right? I'm changing the words just a little bit to simplify it in our minds. Well, as I was studying this, I think there's something that's on our side. This is the command, right? This is the instruction. And he says, read, hear, do. Okay, that's the instructions of God. Now, then from our side, what is missing when we don't read, when we don't hear, and when we don't do? Now, this is, I say, we in here, right? You know, that kind of thing. That's proper English somewhere. And so you need to do that. Maybe down in Texas, you know, Texas has its own language, by the way. It does. It doesn't call, you know, like a pond. Everybody here know what a pond is? In Texas, that's a tank. Don't ask me. I don't understand why it's a tank, you know. I didn't want to ask them because they knew I was a Yankee anyway, so I was in trouble. So I started thinking about this, and I was wondering, what's the problem here in us eventually, of course, getting to the doing part? And so as I studied this out, I believe the Lord helped me to see some things. Before I put in here, number one, before you, we, I will read the scriptures, we have to have a desire to know the scriptures. We have to have a desire within us to do that, okay? And that desire is placed in us by the Holy Spirit of God when we get saved. He tells us, if you want to go, I already quoted John 5:39, but also in 2 Timothy 2:15, what does that say? The scripture says what? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, he tells us to study. He encourages us to search the scriptures. In 1 Peter 2:2, it tells us that we are to desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. And that there is a desire that's there. The Holy Spirit has put that in us. The lost man does not seek God. God seeks lost man. And that's why the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, if you're not saved today, there will be a conviction of sin by the Holy Spirit of God. In John 14 through 16, that is explained very carefully. And he'll convince us of sin. And then he shows us the beauty of his work on the cross and the fulfillment that he paid the price for our sin debt. And if we believe in his death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we believe it in our heart, we can accept him as our Savior, and we can be quickened by the Spirit. And that's the privilege each and every one of us have here if we're alive in the Lord. And so we have this, and we have this desire. But this desire goes beyond this. We have a tendency, because how many of you were lost before you got saved? Okay, all of you were lost before you got saved. Okay, all of us were lost before saved. And depending on the years you were lost, you were programmed, right? You were programmed by the world, right? Okay? If you were of an older generation, you were programmed to work, spend, right? You were programmed for that. And if you're an older generation, you were programmed marriage, sex. You know, you were programmed these things if you're from an older generation. If you're from the newer generation, you're programmed credit card, spend. Sex, marriage. Right? It's true. And depending on our programming and all the rest of it, we get saved, and then we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and we have the Bible, and when we read the Bible, it's like foreign language to us. It is contrary, so much so, to what we've been programmed, that even though the Spirit is desiring us and provoking us into the Word of God, in our old man, we think, that can't work. That can't work. Any men here got a wife they have problems with? Don't raise your hand. Well, our old man would say, especially once you learn about submission in the Bible, well, she needs to submit, right? It wouldn't be that I'm supposed to love her like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. They skip that part of the scripture, right? It's so contrary in the way that we normally think that a lot of times we go back to and we seek answers from other things, other counselors, other Google. Google's got the answer for everything, right? Except for eternal life and other things, how to please God. So it tells us to search. What hinders us is you, we, us. So when I say you, understand the you is us and, you know, that kind of thing. Okay? We trust other sources. Self, what we think, Google, secular thinking, etc., 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 for our problems. We don't have a desire to seek the Word of God and get the answer. We don't. We jump to the first thing. You have financial problems? The answers are right in the Scripture. It's here. It's here. And if you have marriage problems, the answers is here. You've got different personality complexes and different things like that. You can go to the shrinks all you want. But it has, the Bible has answers for this. They have answers for everyday life's problems and the difficulties we have. So that desire has to be there. We have to have a desire to seek out the answers in the Word of God rather than going first off to some other form of information. So before you'll read, you have to have a desire. You have to have the desire. That's on our part. The desire, the sincere milk of the Word. A desire to search the Scripture. A desire to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's hearing. Right? See? Man, that was fast. We'll be done early. Can you imagine that? I'm going to rabbit trail here somewhere, so we'll take up all the time. Okay? But before you will hear, let's talk about hearing. Okay, ladies. You ever talk to your husband? And you're talking. Right? And you see his eyes, they're like glassed over. Right? And there's sound coming in, right? It hits the eardrum. It does those little bones there, the stirrup and the anvil and all this other stuff in her ear and everything. Sends messages to the brain, but somewhere in there, it just goes like out here, right? And you know it. Now, they heard you, but they weren't hearing. Now, men, I have to tell you this. We're all guilty of this. Okay? There's something about us. I can use words, but I don't want to offend anybody. There's something about us that at certain points, it's like there's this little switch, and we turn it off. And then we hear like Charlie Brown, right? Wah, 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 wah. And Charlie Brown and the teacher. Wah, 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 wah. That's all we're hearing, right? That's all. And we could even be nodding our head. We've learned, you know, we got learning behavior. Oh, yeah. Yeah, wah, wah. Yeah, you know, and that kind of thing. And we're not hearing. And so when the Bible says here that you have to hear, it's not talking about wah, 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 wah. It means that you've decided to hear and understand what God is saying. Okay? So before you will hear, I'm saying there has to be humility. Humility. If you already got the answer, you don't need to hear what God has to say. If you're already convinced you know what's right, why do you have to look up God? Matter of fact, if you're convinced that you know the way, even if you do read the Scripture, you won't hear it. All it'll be is wah, 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 wah. And you'll say, no, I've already got the answer to that. There needs to be a humbling of us, a spirit. You have to be like the prophet. I am undone. That I don't have any answers. So because of my testimony, and I know this hurts people in different things, and I try not to. But Tana, it really builds her up. You know, she's still married to me. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine Tana's still married to me? We've been married 48 years now. Well, almost 48 years. 47 and just almost. But anyway, she's really been good. Good woman. And anyways, so what I'm about to say, right? You know, that kind of thing. And I played that game. She would talk and I wouldn't hear what she's saying. And I had to come to a point in our marriage that I was done, that I needed to hear what the Bible had to say. And it didn't happen right away in my Christian walk, but I did. And so I have to, as a man, I know I'm rabbit trailing just a little bit here, but I have to, as a man, I have to, first I have to look at her. And then I have to watch her lips. And then I even have to, because she speaks, and I found that even though I'm trying to hear, I don't quite get what she's trying to say. So I have to say, what do you mean by that? Or, you know, now she's learned with me, and I don't get mad at her either. She's learned at me and says, what did I just say? And so I'll tell her what I just said. She said, no, that is not what I just said. But I, you know, and I have to listen better, right? I have to turn up to hear. Well, I think it's the same with the Lord. We have to be in a point that we're willing to hear. Many of us have problems that might even be generational. Upbringings, learned behavior that is brought down from generation to generation, our own thoughts, our own ways of doing things. We have to be at the point we're humble enough to believe or to hear God's word, to hear it and seek it out. And then when it says something, like I've mentioned to you, I mentioned that we have to be in a position. We have to be in a position, a heart position, to be able to hear. And then I wrote down here, and these are many subpoints, right? And I got to be very careful how much time I take on this. But you have to be undone. In Isaiah 6:5, we'll go there. It's a classic example of it. Let me see here. If you get the Psalms, keep on going. And I'm in Jeremiah. There we go. Everybody there? Isaiah 6:5. Then said I, now this is the prophet Isaiah. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I have woe unto me, I am undone. I do not know the answer of this. I cannot fix this myself. I need to have God to help me. Before you're here, you need to have a willingness to be taught, and you need to have a humility there. And so you want to read it. The desire is there. You go and you read it, but then you got to, it's not just words on a page. And that's where the difficulty comes in when you read your Bible through in a year. I read my Bible through in a year, have for many, many years. But you can be very caught up in just reading the words and not hearing what it has to say. And God wants you to read and hear what is being said. And so you got to be in that state of being undone. You don't know the answer. I didn't know how to get my wife to love me. I didn't know how to raise up my children. I did not know how to handle money. And all of those are true. All of those are true. And so after I got saved, now this is as an adult male, 32 years old, after I got saved, it took that acknowledging so that I could learn, that I would hear what the Scripture has to say. And this is my promise to you. The Scripture is true. The restoration of a marriage, my children loving me, my grandchildren loving me, and now my great-grandchildren, they're going to love us too, because we're going to spoil them bad. And yeah, that's our job. I figured it out. And anyway, so Isaiah says, there's other things about that. It talks of the Scripture that what God desires, you've read it before, is a broken and a contrite heart, right? A broken, that I don't have all the answers. I'm not in charge of all this. God is. And there's this. And then there's even a warning. And I wrote down here in James 4:6 and 1 Peter 5:5. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. There's a humility of spirit there. And you can look up those verses. Please do. And it talks even in that same thing about hardness of heart. That a hardness of heart. That God working with a hard heart. There's great problems with that. You have to have a willingness to be taught. You know Psalms 119, which is the longest psalm in the Scripture, the longest chapter in the Scripture. Did you know that 10 times he the psalmist cries out, teach me, teach me, teach me, teach me, over and over and over again. And that's what we need to have. We as Christians, we need to have the heart attitude for God to teach us, because we're not there. Now, we might be saved. We might be saved, but we haven't attained yet. What is the goal? Remember the goal? What is the goal of a son? Be conformed into the image of his dear son. The goal is not to quit drinking, even though that's good. It is not to clean up your life. It is not to quit swearing. It's not to do this. It's not, all of those are good things, but the goal is to be transformed into the image of Christ Jesus. And that is something we'll be striving for until we see him face to face. And so I wanted to encourage you that you have to have ears to hear. If you've got a problem, a struggle in your life, stop trying to fix it your way. Search the scripture. Because when you follow the scripture, you have power with God. You have humbled yourself. He gives grace unto the humble, and he empowers your prayer. Men, we want to have things changed in our life, but yet if there's sin in our life, the Lord doesn't hear us. If we regard iniquity in our life, his ear is just turned off a little bit. It isn't that he doesn't hear. He hears everything. But again, hearing to action to help. So I want to encourage you. A willingness to be taught. A cry for the Lord's help. Now, ladies, if I asked you if you'd like to have a closer relationship with the Lord, and you said you would say yes, and then I said on a closer relationship with your husband, most of you would raise your hand, right? Unless you're afraid of your husband or something. And the men, we need to desire to have a closer relationship with God and a closer relationship with our wives and our children. And the way that will be, especially, now remember, I was married to Tana, we were married for 10 years, I think, roughly, right? Maybe 11, I think, whatever. And 10 or 11 years before I got saved. And so I understand that those years would cause problems with your children, with your wife. And everything doesn't happen like this, right? But yet, if you read it, if you have a desire to change, you have a desire to know what God says, and you open up your ears in humility, and then you're taught by the scripture, you're taught by it, and you change the way you behave. Consider them. I still challenge men. I used the verse already. I'll use it again. That we are to love our wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's our goal. How you doing with that? How you doing with that? I need some work still. To love her as Christ loved me. It would be a great thing. Gave himself for me. Most ladies will agree with this, even if they don't, because their husbands are here. But most men are very selfish. Did you know that? Now, I'm not saying that women aren't selfish. I'm not saying, but men, have you ever see the way that women, or single women especially, are raising their male children? It's like they've got two classifications of being here. The male children are pampered, and the girl children are get to work or something. I don't know. That kind of thing. You have to love your wife. You have to love your children. Bring them upright in the law of fear of the Lord. So what did we start with? What do you need before you'll read? You'll get quizzed on this. I'm going to pass out papers. You're going to have 10 questions. Now, come on. Okay, what do you need before you'll read?
Desire.
You have to have a desire for it. That desire is given by the Spirit of God. You need to be saved. You need to be quickened by the Spirit. And then before you will hear, not just words, not just, I read my chapter, but you hear it. It stopped somewhere in between here, right? And it had a lodging place. Before you'll hear it, you need to be humble in spirit, or else you will not hear. All it'll be is words. All this preaching will be, it's just words. Might be a couple in here right now. All they're hearing is wah, 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 wah. It's true. It happens. I can see it. See, as you ladies, when the men check out, I'm a preacher. I know when people check out. I'm up here. I can see every eye. I can see that. The glass just went on there. They're gone. Have your ears open. I told another church here recently, listen, when you get an old preacher up here that's been around, that's counseled hundreds of people, hundreds of families, that has seen churches destroyed, that has been in the ministry for a while, and he's trying to tell you something, it is wise to listen up. But yet, youth, sometimes they got the earplugs in, right? Okay, so you're going to read. And before you hear, you need to have what? A humble spirit. You don't want God to resist the proud. Say, you got the answer. You want to have a humble spirit to that. And before you'll keep it, you can go that far. You can, listen, I know people that have read the Word of God. I know people that understand what it says. And I also know people that don't follow it. They researched it. They understand it. Found a lodging place. But then the doeth part, it's not there. It's not there. So what's the missing element? They had the desire to read. They had the humility to hear. But then they say, I haven't done it. I think the problem right then, now, this is my opinion, right? Before you will keep, you must believe it. You must have faith that it's true. You can read it. You can hear it. But if you do not believe in it, it will not cause an action in your life. Change. In the Bible, it's called repentance. A change of mind that leads to a change of action. See, it doesn't go that far. And so when he tells us and he's encouraging us and the scripture is teaching us, before you will keep it, you must believe, you must have the faith to believe in what God says. You, like I said, you have it, you looked at it. Man, especially with money. Anybody have money problems? I don't want you to raise your hand. But I had money problems. Truly, I had money problems. I was not taught how to handle money. You know what you do when you get money? You spend it. Right? That's what I was taught. That's how I lived my life. And Tana and I, it probably drove her nuts that if I had any kind of money, if we had any kind of, I have to go back, you younger people won't understand this, but credit cards back in when I was young, okay, they had like a $500 limit to them. And then when you put it on JCPenney card or something like that, they took your furniture as security. That if you didn't pay along, they'd come and take your furniture. Anybody remember those things? Now they did that, man. Now this credit card has $20,000. This one has $18,000. You know, this you can get $100,000 in debt on credit cards, and everybody thinks that's normal. I think the American average Canadian is something like $18,000 to $21,000 in credit card debt if you average it out to every Canadian. Anyways. So you must have faith, okay? Not faith in the card, but we had money problems. After I got saved, Tana quit work. I quit selling insurance as I was active duty military, life insurance. We started tithing and giving to missions, okay? And all of this was going on, and I did not have faith in the Word of God before that, and I trusted in the Lord. I did. I trusted in the Lord. I read it, I believed it, and then the action was, and you don't have to debate with me tithing or whatever. I actually think that you are supposed to be very benevolent. Very benevolent. When you got it, I think you ought to help the poor, I think you ought to do all these kind of things. It's very clear in Scripture. I think it adds up to more than all that, but anyways, that's my opinion. Okay, the Jews in the Old Testament, when you add up all their tithing and stuff, you know what you come up with? 23%. They didn't just tithe once. There was a year of tithing. There was a tithe for the poor. There was a tithe to the Levites. There was, read all this. It's in there. Anyways, I wanted to explain this, that you need to trust the Lord. And so what we did, we trusted the Lord in this, and our money was tight for 7 years. I'm going to speak on this evening. Really, if you got problems, I'm going to try to speak on problems in your Christian walk. And really, the advice, sowing and reaping, chastening, purging, all of these things are involved. And if you don't understand where the problem is coming from, you'll go to the wrong source and the wrong way of correcting it. And it's a lot, it'll help you, truly. It will help you. Anyway, so we went and we were in debt, you know, and all the rest of it. I was called to preach. I went down to Texas. We didn't leave anything there. I haven't been back since. And I was caught down to Texas. We were down there for 3 years.
Anyways, it took us, I believe, 7 years. You can correct me. It's okay. It took us a long time to get out of debt. All those years that was there, Ken and I limited our gift giving to one another, our cokes that we drank, our lifestyle. I cried out to the Lord. I asked for forgiveness for handling money wrong and all the rest. And you know what he said? My grace is sufficient. And I am thankful to this day that he did not bail me out. Because today, I have a credit card. And you go online, and it'll say, what do I owe? Nothing. That's what I owe. And handling money is not a problem. Because a lesson was learned, and it took years and years to get it in my mind. I'm thankful for the lesson. But I say this, that you need to act on it. And it doesn't mean that everything's going to become rosy overnight. We sow seed, and that's tonight. Sorry. And so there are some that we need to hear. Now, Hebrews 11:1. I know you understand these verses, but I'm going to go to them because they're so common, but in our context, that you will apply it to what I'm trying to say. So if you get to James, you've went too far. And Hebrews 11, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. Okay, not seen. You don't see it. If it's faith, you don't see it. Okay? And then it says, but in verse 6, but without faith it is what? Impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so it tells us here that we are to believe, and if we're going to believe the scripture, because all scripture is given of inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and all of those words we can expound on. But the thing is that it's there for us to learn. I need to learn, and I still am learning how to love my wife, how to love my children, how to love the saints. I'm not here to fleece the sheep, but to feed the sheep. Okay? And if you ever get run into people that start fleecing the sheep, run. Run. Because all they're trying to, it's all about them. It's all about what they want and other things like that. Pastors are that are called of God have a desire to feed and nurture sheep. So, you believe. So you have a belief, and the result of this belief. I put down two examples. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preached, man, and boy, did he put it right out there, right in front of their face about Jesus Christ. And 3,000 were added to the church. In the latter part of Acts, he's talking to the king there, and the king said, almost persuaded, right? Almost. That he didn't act in faith. He didn't accept what Paul was saying. And I'm saying that's the difference. We can read it. We can actually hear it and say, yeah, that's what the Word of God says. But until we put it in action, until we repent of those thoughts and put it into action, then it'll change our life. Then is the blessedness. Then is the prayer answer. Then is hope given. Then is patience there. All the rest that it takes. It took me 3 years to restore our relationship. Tana had given me my Dear Tom letter. Yeah, I still have it. Every now and then just as a reminder. But Tana had given me my Dear Tom letter. And after I got saved, I came home, and I believe I told her right away. My memory isn't that good. I believe I told her that I had got saved, that I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and went with this. So, you know what she did? She said, oh yeah, great, everything's forgiven, man, let's just go on. No. You know what she said? I know what she said right in her heart. She said, we'll see. We'll see. And so it took 3 years for me to, and I didn't say the perfection of me. I'm just saying that she would trust me, yes, right? And it took me 3 years. And you know how I know that it happened the third year, Mark? She gave me the checkbook. She gave me the checkbook. Now listen, any of you that were raised with trumps, you don't give them money. Unless they repented. You don't give them the checkbook. All the women that I know of that were raised with a drunk, they're hiding money everywhere, man. Because they know that if he gets his hand on a certain amount of money, it's going to end up being wasted.
I got to be careful that I speak with my diaphragm. If I use my vocal cords about 30 minutes in, I'm done.
And what I'm saying is, if you believe, if you have faith, it doesn't happen sometimes, and the changes don't happen overnight. But they do happen. And you need to have the faith to stick with the Word of God, especially in relationships. You can win them over. You can win them. You can win them back with continued changed behavior. But if you just go at it for 6 months and say, it didn't work, you're going to take all of that. You'll be weary in well-doing. And the promise is, it warns us, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap, or you'll have the benefit of that. And so you need to understand that when you're hearing, when you keep it, you're keeping it because you believe it. The results will come, but you got to stay with it. You got to stay with it. And sometimes it takes a long time to win people. It does. But you stay with it. You keep it. If your finances are wrecked, follow the scripture. And in time, it will be blessed. We'll explain a little bit more of that this evening. So I wrote down here, the belief and result to keep is called repentance. It's a change of mind that leads to a change of action. And all of these, I got all these references on Christ and others speaking about repentance. And that's what they're talking about. They're talking about that they had a change that was put into action. It's just not mouthing it. It's change that will last and do that. So if you go ahead, and if you have the desire to read, and if you have the humility to hear, then you have to believe that the Word of God is true and act upon it. You have to put the action to it. That's like the cement, man. That's the finishing product, that action that's there. And my encouragement to you is don't get weary in well-doing. Follow the scripture. Follow the pattern of it, and it will change your life. It'll change your life. I hope that my wife can tell you that I'm a different man now. Don't believe me, believe her, right? Or my children that were partially raised. So I wrote down here during the invitation, because the difference between teaching and preaching is this. A teacher, I can give you the scripture and talk about this, but a preacher brings it to a decision. You have to make a decision. You have to decide what you're going to do. See, that's what a preacher does. And I'm preaching a little bit today. I can tell you that some cannot hear. For the sake of time, I'm going to give you the references. Some cannot hear. John 8:43, 2 Corinthians 4:4, where the word, the gospel is hid to them. The adversary has blocked their ears. But some have become, they cannot hear. They're not saved. They're not ready to hear. The Holy Spirit is not working on them. You've got to respond to God while God is nigh, while He's close. And so there's some that cannot hear. There's some that will not hear. They will not hear. That's talked about a lot in Israel. It's used. When the prophets were, like reprimanding or, giving instruction to Israel, they say it over and over again. You would not hear. It isn't that they could not hear. They would not. In other words, they spoke the word of God. They told them what they had to do. And they went, whatever. They didn't follow after. And then the results of it. Why? With Israel. They will not hear. In Psalm 78:41, it comes Genesis 42:2-22, 1 Corinthians 14:21. You can look up all those references, please. One of the things of will not hear is, as I mentioned before, is yet you got a hard heart. Your heart's hardened. Don't think it can't happen, dear Christian. Have you ever been burnt? I've been a preacher for a while. Nobody's ever given me any grief. But as church members, have you ever been burnt? Have you ever had friends like talk behind your back? Other people betray you? You know, I used to think of that in one way. But do you understand that all of that interaction and how we handle it, we're just entering into the sufferings of Christ. Christ doesn't keep us from those situations. It's very important. It's very important how you handle that situation. That's what the Lord's looking at. That's what he's looking at. So, beware of a hard heart. Beware of hard hearts. Every time I say that word, my mind goes back. I got 5 minutes here. I got time. I'm watching. She's just smiling. My mind goes back to Desmond, Dari, and D'Artagnan on the bus route. They were three boys. I used to pick them up on the bus route. Their parents were all on mainlining and drugs and other different things. I used to cross, walk over their bodies that were sprawled out all over the place to get the kids to bring them to church. And I went to this, me and Charlie Gum, we it was Christmas time, and I thought myself something pretty good, that I was a pretty good guy. I was going to go and bring these little kids presents. Well, we gave them presents and everything, and then I went to this working lady's house. Most of you adults will understand by what I mean by that term. And she was a working lady that was in jail, and her grandmother had her grandson there. And I was going to give him a present, and I was thinking pretty nice of myself. Man, it's Christmas time. I bought gifts. I'm giving gifts. It was all about how I'm feeling, right? Really, seriously. Pride is a very hard-hearted person, you know. And I went and gave him the gifts there, and me and Charlie, and this little boy, little mulatto boy, he went and he came up to me, and he had made a graham cracker house, and he gave it to me. That was 30-something years ago. It was a lesson well learned. And he gave me what he could, right? Pride and hard-heartedness is not something, you won't hear the Word of God. You won't desire the Word of God. You won't believe the Word of God. And God is actually withstanding you. So my question is, some cannot hear, some will not hear, and some become dull of hearing. The dull of hearing references are mostly used of believers. In Hebrews, it tells us, in Hebrews 3:8, I'm sorry, Hebrews 5:11, he's speaking to the born-again believers that were Hebrews, and he says, you have become dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. That means, what the word dull doesn't mean that you're not intellectually enough to do it. It's like you have mufflers on. And even though the Holy Spirit and the God is trying to work with you, you just don't hear it very clearly. You're not at the point with that prophet that ran away, right? And in the cave and everything, and the still small voice of the Lord, you're not hearing. You're not hearing it. They become dull of hearing. There's many things that can cause that. Pride causes it in James 4, 5, and 6. And then I put down this note. I apply it to myself. What is more prideful than knowing the Lord's way and still following my way? What is more prideful than that? I have just put myself above the Word of God. I'm going to solve this problem. I'm going to do that. Very prideful. So my instructions are here, my dear friends. Stop doing things your way, our way. Seek to do everything the Lord's way. Desire to read, having a humble heart to hear, then believe God's ways and keep His word. You got problems in your life? What's missing? What's missing? Is it desire? Is it that you're not hearing? Or is it that you're not believing to action? To action. One of those, or maybe all three of them, are missing. Something's wrong. Something's not there. For our sake, for my sake, for the Lord's sake, for His honor and glory, we need to learn to do things His way and humble ourselves before the Lord. We're going to have an invitation time. The invitation time is not for the prideful. Pride will keep you from responding unto the Lord. And whether you come up front, whether you bow down before the Lord on your seat, whether you humble your heart before Him, all of these things are good. I just want to encourage you to know that if you're not saved today, you could be saved. You need to believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't earn your way to heaven. It's not going to happen. All of our righteousness as a filthy rags before the Lord. There is none righteous, no, not one. We humble ourselves before God. We can't earn our way. We're not going to happen. It is all the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. All based upon what He has done. And so are you saved today? You can be. You can be. You're one prayer away of salvation. You're one prayer away of not being condemned. You're one prayer away of not visiting that lake of fire one day, because there is hell to pay. You're one prayer away of glorifying God. Everything that has happened in the past, it does not glorify God because it's been done in the flesh. But when you call upon the Lord, it glorifies the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The angels in heaven shout. The saints ought to too. You can be saved today. If you've struggled with things, you're reading of the Word of God, you're following of it, listen to what I'm saying here. What's missing? The command is clear. Read, hear, do. But we struggle with that. Is it our desire? Is it our humility that's missing? Is it the faith? Do we really believe it'll make a difference?